Hey everyone, a huge weekend in sports is coming up, and if you've been looking for an online sports book where you can play all the games, then pull out your phone and Shazam this commercial right now using the Shazam app for exclusive offers from BetDSI.com. BetDSI is giving away a free $25 wager if you use promo code SBG25. Or simply just Shazam this commercial right now. You'll get instant access to register, play, win, and get paid on everything from football to reality TV. If it moves, DSI puts odds on it. So Shazam this commercial right now for instant access to BetDSI.com and get a free $25 wager on the house and 100% extra bonus when you deposit. Use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. Shazam now, or use promo code SBG25 to get your free wager and start winning today at BetDSI.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show on an FYF Friday. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and yours truly, Joel, in studio, taking you through what should be a fun and spirited show. The first hour, if it's any indication, should last for another two, and you guys hopefully will be as happy as we were heading into the weekend. Chingo Bling, comedian of the week.
Yes.
With a little extra added bonus at 3:30. So if you want to fill in the peeps that might have missed.
Yeah, Chingo Bling, our comedian of the week, brought to you by the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase. Chingo has a Wednesday show out there. Every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, you can catch his show. I think it's free. We'll verify that when he gets here. He's going to join us on the show at 2:30. We'll have a clip from him at 2:15 and 3:15. And then also joining us, who is at the Joke Joint this weekend, is Joe Mackey. You probably saw Joe. He's that quirky guy that was on Last Comic Standing that you thought, wow, he's very quirky. He's kind of different. But dude is hilarious. He's a great dude. I got to feature for him last night. And he's one of the funniest dudes that's come through the Joke Joint in a long time, just because of his national exposure and national experience, and the fact that some of the stuff he talks about is just, it's crazy. Like, I wouldn't have the balls to get on stage and talk about some of the stuff he does, but he's such a master at it that
I always appreciate guys who can do that, who can get away with that kind of stuff. But yeah, check out his Netflix special. Honestly, I didn't know that much about him until you started telling. I didn't know about all the other significant details, like the fact that he was a rapper and the fact that he paid his way and did all that. So that's impressive.
And then I saw, when I was reading up on a lot of the music that he samples, the artists with the original cut just allowed him to use the music, and very, very cool stuff.
Yep.
So, and Mackey's a good dude, too. I mean, funny dude, too, because I was looking at some of his stuff on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
He's got some funny bits.
That's the one I was talking about being quirky. Like, if you watched, he's a quirky dude. Once you see him, you'll remember Joe Mackey from Last Comic Standing. As soon as you see him, he's got a recognizable face, recognizable delivery, recognizable voice.
Because I was going to say, he makes fun of his voice, compares it to Mike Tyson. I was like, our listeners are going to hear that and go, Trey has someone that he can use as a hero now.
He's got a bunch of crazy stuff that he talks about on stage that's worth the trip to check him out.
Definitely.
Funny dude.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So you guys started this whole back and forth about the electric car and is it cheaper, and we were all diving into it. And now Chris is on the phone, and he wants to talk electric car. Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, man. How are you?
So I have a Chevy Bolt, and I've had that for a little more than a year. And I got to tell you, it's the favorite car that I've ever had. And if you want to talk about cost, it costs me about 2.5 cents a mile to drive.
What's all going into that?
But Chris, now, to be fair, it's a hybrid. The Volt is.
No. It's the Bolt with a B. And it's all
Bolt.
Electric.
I thought you said Volt.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay,
and
the Bolt.
So what goes into it, I do have a 240 volt plug at my house, so I charge it overnight, and so just my base electric rate. And I think the Tesla example was assuming pretty expensive electricity. Mine's about 8 cents per kilowatt hour.
Okay.
And I get about 4 miles per kilowatt hour in this car. So two, and if I'm driving super fast, 2.5 cents per mile.
Now, super fast in a Bolt, I'm guessing, is like 35?
No, seriously.
40, I'm just kidding, 40.
This thing is the fastest car I've ever driven.
Stop it. Chris, you had me until you tried to tell me that this is a race car. Stop it.
It's not a race car, but it has great pickup with the electric. You know, you don't have to wait for the throttle to kick in. It's just instantly there.
If I Google the 0 to 60 for the Chevy Bolt, what am I going to find?
2 weeks.
That was good,
Nate. Hang on. I'm at a stoplight. I'll tell you how long it takes me to get actually.
Yeah,
Carolina,
well, we don't have time. We're over at 4, so you'll have to call back on Monday and let us know once you hit 60. We appreciate the call, Chris. Nick said 2 weeks.
2 weeks was fantastic.
He's like, I tell you what, I'll let you know. I'll keep you on the phone. His phone battery would die by the time he got to 60.
Now, this debate's never going to end, but someone also hit us up and said,
go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Just said, I'm in the car industry. Tesla battery is 2 years or 100,000 miles on the warranty. Everything else on the car, 4 years and 50,000 miles. And it's incredibly expensive to fix out of warranty.
Oh, so there is a warranty. Yeah. At some point, it does run out of warranty and you're on your own. I will say, at 2 cents a mile, Nick wins, hands down. There's no way, no car is beating 2 cents a mile.
I mean, it's
now, if you want to drive a Bolt, that's on you.
Teslas look good. They look like nice cars.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The Bolts and the Priuses and all that other stuff. I don't know if a Prius has a full.
I'm with Barry. I don't know about you, Nick. I knew there was a Volt with a V. I didn't know there was a Bolt with a B.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I'm trying to just see a picture of a Bolt. I'm glad you like that car. You know the smart car? Have you seen the smart cars?
Absolutely.
The two seaters. Where it's got enough room for your wallet in the back.
Yeah,
Have you seen those?
Yep.
This looks like a smart car with a four-door smart car. And I love you, Chris, for listening, but there's no way you're telling me this car is fast. Nothing about this car says fast.
No, it says...
Nothing about that car...
That's a farm fresh egg with wheels.
If you want to tell me that car is studious, or if you want to tell me that car... makes you look smart when you're sitting in it. Okay, there's no way. I guarantee you. I have a 4-cylinder Honda with a turbo. I promise you, I'll be waiting for you at the next light. I promise you that. There's no way. Maybe so. Maybe I'm not, you know, Nick was right in the end. He wins the argument with 2 cents a mile. I can't beat that. But now don't come at me with 0 to 60s and how fast it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's for me, both. Like, I'm at a point now, like, I really don't care. Like, it's as long as I don't look absolutely horrendous in the car that I'm driving, I really don't care. I just want to be cheap.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I looked into it. And I'm texting my buddy now because I want to see what his warranty is.
I'm telling you, man, this Accord, it's a
4-cylinder. I would totally buy your car.
It's a 4-cylinder.
I would totally buy.
It's a turbo. It's fast. I thought I was
going to
miss.
And I've been in it. I've seen it.
I thought I was going to miss my truck because my truck was a V8. And it had, you know, even though it was a truck, it could still get it. But man, I don't miss a thing. And I thought, man, going from a V8 to a 4-cylinder, that turbo really makes up for it. And I mean, I think the Accord Touring sticker for 2018 was like 33, 34, something like that. 33.8.
That's good, man. Because if it's fully loaded,
yeah,
that's really good. I didn't expect the fully loaded Accord to be that cheap. I would expect it to be more expensive, honestly.
But I think overall, all the car companies realize that with prices coming down, you got to be competitive. So in order to stay competitive and have people even consider it, it has to be a pretty good discount from what you're paying for the electric cars and the hybrids.
I mean, they're obviously impacting the game, whether it's because they're cheaper or not. You know, Arian's Fetus was tweeting at us. It's not necessarily the cost that makes the Tesla kind of a car worth the buy. It's all the features and all the insane, options that it comes with.
So what is an average 0 to 60? What is the average? Do we know? Like if you're
probably
like a Ford Taurus or something. It's just probably a show.
Four but something?
Just,
six, seven. No.
No.
No way. Like six, 7 seconds, really? 8 seconds maybe?
8 seconds?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just guessing, but there's no way it's a 4-second car. It's 0 to 60.
Okay. Because I'm looking, I'm trying to Google what the 0 to 60 time is. It looks like it's about 6.3, 6.5.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's...
That makes sense.
That's better than average, right?
What, your Accord?
No. The Bolt.
Oh, the Bolt is not bad. Like at 6? Oh, that's not bad at all, no.
The Accord's like 5.6, 0 to 60, the 2.0 turbo.
Wouldn't it be great if that Bolt went faster than your Accord? I would be so happy.
Yeah, you would.
I'd be so happy.
You'd be dancing to the studio. There'd be no doubt about it.
Just, every time I'd see him in the hall for the next week, he'd just be like, suck it, Slowpoke. I'd be like, what? Really?
Freaking Bolt beat you. A Bolt.
Dude, that would be so embarrassing. Oh, my God. Dude has to get out and crank it first. Like, you remember those old school cars that had the little the turn on the top?
Yeah.
Or he's got to push it back like the old Hot Wheels that you'd back up and then
rev it backwards and wind it up and let it go. Nick would be like, that's not a Bolt. That's a Bolt with a B. Like, suck it, bitch. You lost.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's hour number two. It's the three-hour show. And as we always tell you, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest and join the FYF Friday Fray, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. And, of course, we are always available via Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Will
you
be
answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We went to Mexico recently. It was beautiful. It's not what the media tries to make it seem like. We had a good old time. The crazy part was coming back into town, back into the United States of America. I don't know if y'all have experienced the United States Border Patrol lately, but these motherfuckers have a lot of attitude. Like, I understand you're doing your job, pero bájale the attitude. Because they just come up on your car, right? They're just like, hey, lower your window, sir. La ventana, la window. I'm already getting confused. I'm like, man, did I take a nap? Are we back in Mexico? Like, U.S. citizens? I'm all like, yes, sir. Are you? I didn't say it out loud. I thought it in my head. Because I was confused. I'm like, man, they using beaners to catch beaners. Wait. The f***? Así, cabrón, espérate. Hey, bring me the German Shepherd. Hey, el Scooby-Doo. El Wawao.
German Shepherd. Oh, that is Chingo Bling. You can catch him every Wednesday at the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase. And this week's Comedian of the Week is Chingo Bling, brought to you by the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase. And let's do this. Since they're sponsoring this FYF Friday and the funny part of it, at least, how about another chance to win some tickets to see Joe Mackey this weekend? He's got shows, two shows tonight and two shows tomorrow. He's going to join us at 3:30. You probably saw him on Last Comic Standing 2014, I believe. But here's your chance to win a couple pairs of tickets to see Joe Mackey this weekend. All you got to do is call the Joke Joint, 281-481-1188. 281-481-1188. One more time, 281-481-1188. Call the Joke Joint, win those tickets, go have some fun this weekend.
Okay, cool. And
thank them for sponsoring.
Again,
yeah.
Thanks to the Joke Joint, and thank you guys for listening. That's why we give back by giving away tickets. That's always awesome. Now, are we going to put a bow on this thing?
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up. This is not to validate whether or not it's cheaper to have a Tesla or a car that runs on gasoline, but my buddy Haas, the guy I grew up with who met up with me in Vegas, is on our hotline right now, and I want him to explain the warranty, because honestly, that's how he sold me on the car. Because I was of the belief that it was completely free. So, Haas, clear this up for me. How good is the warranty for the Tesla?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm a self-confessed member of the Teslarati. I'm a big fan, but it's been proved. I mean, I've had the car for 5 years now, so I think I have some place to talk. when they put the car out initially, there was problems with the battery and the motor that people were encountering. So what Elon did was say, hey, I'm going to do an 8-year unlimited mile warranty on the battery and the motor, which are the major components of the car. I mean, that's what the car is. It's an electric car, so there's no, you know, spark plug, all this other stuff. But so, and in those 5 years I've had the car, I've had the motor go out on me, I've had the battery go out on me, and I've had my wife jump up and down and say, why'd you get this car? But you know what? Took it in. I haven't paid a dime in service for, you know, pretty major work, but they really do stand by what they do as far as the warranty stuff. And now, of course, I got that, no. Go ahead.
How long does that last, Haas? What is it? Is that lifetime?
It's eight years. Okay. And unlimited miles.
But, okay.
So Haas, that's on those big components. On the everything else, there's a regular. It's like 5 years. I think 50,000, and then you can get an extended one for 6 years, 80,000. I didn't even pay for that. I didn't pay for the extended. I got the one that comes with the car that's only to 50. I bought it in 2013. I still got till 2021. If anything happens to the big parts of it, zip out of my pocket, and I've encountered it. So
that's all good, Haas, but here's the thing. You have the inconvenience of when these parts give out. Like, you could be on a road trip between here and Dallas, and all of a sudden, sure, the engine drops.
Yeah, sure. This is what my wife says, and what I say is, like, this dude built us a rocket ship. Like, I don't know if you've driven a Tesla. These things are amazing to drive. They're, you know, incredibly fast, incredibly cool to drive. I mean, this, you know, the company is built basically like rocket ships for us to drive. So to me, you know, if twice in 6 years I got to deal with, I got to take it in one day, and by the way, they give me a Tesla, the new one, to as a loaner, and I can deal with that, you know, to me, over the course of 5-6 years, two times the inconvenience, and I got this rocket ship,
yeah, but
that I can drive, Haas, I'm good with that.
Aren't you worried about, I mean, Joel talked a little bit about the parts breaking down when you're on the road. Aren't you also worried about people thinking you're a douchebag? I mean, there's that part of it, too, where you pull up, people are like, look at this douchebag.
I'm just surrounded by bigger douchebags. So, you know, I'm in Los Angeles, so that's not as big a problem.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them on the road here.
You're a small douche in a big douche pond, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Appreciate you, Haas.
So, Haas, wait, before you leave, too, another question. Speaking of douchebags, so you went to school and grew up with Nick?
Yeah, man. Me and Nick, we lived in the same apartment complex way back when we were young kids, just randomly, and became great friends. So, Nick's my, like, childhood friend. From forever. I love the kid, man. I hadn't seen him in several years, and we just reconnected. I guess you guys had him up there for the fight, for the Pacquiao fight, and so we got to hang out in Vegas, and it was awesome. Yeah.
Waste money on whores. Good job. I'm glad you guys.
You claimed him. You claimed him in public. I give you credit for
how
all
much.
That.
It's Haas, over now.
Haas, it's just you and me talking right now. No one else. How much money did Nick spend on whores? How much did he drop?
It's all Venmo now, so I can't tell.
Nick out here just Venmoing hooches. Good job, buddy. I like it. Appreciate you, Haas.
Hey, love you, Haas. Thank you so much for joining us, bro.
Hey, you guys rock, man. Keep it up.
All right, man.
There you go. Good stuff there.
I'm glad he was cool, because I was like, I got to make fun of his friends, so I'm going to do that. I'm glad. He's not like a shooter, right? He's not going to come up here and start shooting up the place or anything.
He's an attorney. He ain't going to do anything.
Okay. Oh, God.
That could be even worse, actually.
He is a douchebag,
then. And he lives in L.A. where there's plenty of douchebags.
He's an attorney and a Tesla. Oh, my God.
Living in L.A., but hanging out in Vegas.
Did I nail
the story? Plot thickens.
Does he wear sunglasses inside?
Dude, he's got, like, custom suits. Not tailored, but, like, custom suits. Like, yeah, he's living it over there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well,
brush suede loafers.
But it cleared it up. You know what? For me, that was the deal breaker. Like, I will seriously consider a car like yours that has great gas mileage. If not every single part, we might have been drinking too much in Vegas. But the way I interpreted it was everything was absolutely free.
Yeah.
Now, it's still an incredible warranty.
But what he's telling you is basically the equivalent of a drivetrain warranty on most cars, which is 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And again, because
he's talking about
it.
The big parts, that's a drivetrain warranty. So yeah, he said 8 years, most cars are 10.
They're also doing it to cover their ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all the battery issues and all that other stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Haas seems like a good dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like between the e-cigarettes and the, what were the freaking stand-on scooter things with the batteries, too, that kept having issues blowing up? You know what I'm talking about? It was like the hottest Christmas gift.
Hoverboard or whatever?
Yeah, but and also the e-cigarette, they have that lithium battery or whatever that can blow up.
Oh, I heard about the lithium battery on the e-cigarette part. Yeah, the scooter I'm not too familiar with.
The other day, on a flight in New York coming to Houston, someone had the e-cigarette pen, put it in the overhead compartment, and the battery blew and started the whole overhead on fire, and they had to delay the flight, change planes, all that crap. So,
so I have bad news and good news.
Well, all right.
Chingo's not going to be here at 2:30. He's running behind. He said his GPS has him here a little after that. So he'll join us at 2:45. Okay. He will be in the building. He's just a little late.
There you go.
It's Houston. It happens, right?
That happens.
Okay.
All right. We are about at the midway point of the show. So we're going to take a quick break for halftime. Come back with all the second half festivities, including Chingo Bling and more. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects on an FEF Friday, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling along. Halfway point, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Big show on an F Yeah Friday.
One more thing, and then we got to move off the cars, I promise. But
you're
this
sure.
was, yeah, but because a lot of the texts, I wasn't looking at the text line when we were talking about it at 2:05 or whatever. But a lot of people were saying that the charge time on them takes forever. And I do remember my buddy Son telling me he has to calculate like hours of, like, you don't just stop and fill up in 5 or 10 minutes like at a gas station, but it takes hours. And somebody even said, they texted and said, it probably takes 5 hours for a quarter of a charge. No, I'm out on that. I got places to be. Now, around town, but that's why if you're going to do it, maybe
that
get a hybrid.
Doesn't make sense, though.
But maybe get a hybrid.
20 hours for a full charge is what you're
That's
saying?
Why you do it overnight a lot of times.
Yep.
They'll do it overnight.
But 20 hours is an entire day. That means overnight you can only
I'm just telling
get
you
halfway
what he said.
Full?
I know my buddy
that
son
doesn't make
said
sense.
It's like 3 or 4 hours when he's on the road. So it's not 5 for a quarter. He said he's got to stop, and it takes several hours, like 3 or 4, to fill up his car.
Yeah. That would be inconvenient. So, like, if I had enough money, I'd have, like, a Tesla for like in city.
Yeah.
And then like a hybrid or like another or like a gas saver.
Hell yeah.
For going to Dallas or, you know, cut and shoot or wherever, you know, wherever you go, Barry.
I don't go to cut
wherever
and
it
shoot.
Is that you go.
What was that little small town you were thinking of going to?
I don't know.
Kuntz.
No.
Kuntz?
No, I'm not going.
Will you have to take a little hop, skip, and a jump over to Kuntz?
I feel like I just need to reset the text line too, because this is all about hybrid cars and we're moving.
Yeah, well, that's my bad.
No, it's all good. It was an interesting discussion. There's nothing wrong with having an interesting non-sports discussion.
We did have him on to talk about the Tesla. I don't know why you brought up the prostitute discussion in Vegas. That was unnecessary.
Well, inquiring minds want to know. First, we got to know if he's credible because he claims you.
Yes,
how
he
well
does.
He knew you, and then he said he loved you, and then Barry had to take it to there, and that's
you know,
just part of the process.
There. You know, I got
to
go there. Of course. Yesterday, was it yesterday or the day before when we talked about Bregman? Coming out, I mean, it was earlier in the week when Alex Bregman came out and said he wants to beat Boston because he's tired of the Patriots and the Red Sox beat him. Apparently, he caught a lot of heat for that, and people were asking him, "Do you regret saying it? Do you apologize for saying it?" And he did. He said, "No, I'd say 99.9% of people playing competitive sports want to beat the team that beat them." I don't think that's anything out of the ordinary. It's crazy how you say stuff now and it gets blown up, especially when you say it on a comedy podcast. So this dude is just out there having fun and now people are freaking out about it. What's so wrong with that? Would you want a guy on your team that's like, well, I kind of, you know, if we lose to Boston, I'd be okay with that. No. I want guys that are like, I want to beat them. I want to beat them. Screw Boston. Screw the Yankees.
Well, I think the big thing is that you've got the purists and the prudes, and we've talked about this with baseball fans, but also in every other sport, that say that's all fine and dandy to want to beat them, but just don't publicize it. Don't put give them any locker room billboard material.
These are the same people that are really upset at a bat flip. That are really upset with long hair. I mean, these are old ass men that need to get over it when it's a new era of baseball. And there are young kids that like to talk a little mess and have a little bit of swag. I feel like old just saying swag, but this is what they do now. That's what they do. And it's not that big of a deal. There's trash talk in almost every other sport. Why can't there be trash talk in baseball? Yeah. People trash talk in football. People trash talk in basketball. On the field. On the court.
Did you see Reggie Miller did a conference call yesterday, and he said the reason why there isn't the same amount of trash talk as when he played in the league is that everybody represents TMZ now. Because they have phones, and they're all courtside with them, and they're all always on at some point.
You can't hear
guys pull the jerseys over their face when they're talking. It's still going on. It's just that they don't want everybody in on what they're saying because obviously there's cuss words and other things. And it goes back to what we said about their image and social media and how they're perceived because you know that it's not going to be clean and it's not going to be, like we've talked about, it's not going to be PC when they're talking mess to each other on the floor.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't even worry about it. I mean, who cares? That's on the court. That's in the heat of the moment. What? I don't know. It's just it's crazy that people take something as simple as, yeah, we want to beat Boston. I mean, who wouldn't want to beat Boston and then blow that up and make him into something that's really, I mean, yeah, he's a trash talker and he's kind of a D-bag sometimes the way he acts, but what do you want? You want him to be super passive? Nobody wants that. They're stars.
And you want the baseball purist answer? I just want him to go out there and play hard and keep his mouth shut and his nose to the grindstone and keep doing what he's doing. And if he does all that, they will beat Boston.
Screw those guys.
Well, there you
have it. Speaking of the Astros, though, it's official now. It is official. Jeff Luhnow came out and confirmed and he acknowledged that the team did go after Bryce Harper, that there was a deal in place, that the Nats pulled back at the last second and said, no, we're not going to trade him. So that was the rumor. Everyone kind of felt that to be the case. We talked about it on the show. A lot of people had talked about it. But you finally heard from the man himself, and he came out and said, yep, we tried. And he said, really what it means is that we're not opposed to looking at alternatives to get better at the trade deadline.
Well, and the other thing that they said, for people that know Jeff Luhnow and know the Astros, this is a really big deal. That instead of it just being a rumor that was a not so good, well kept secret, for him to come out and confirm it is a pretty big deal. But it's also kind of reflective of like when we saw Tillman Fertitta come out a week ago and say, I like when we're dealing with teams that actually know that a deal is a deal, whether a signature is in place, instead of changing their mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're talking about. Because these days, there isn't that handshake agreement deal and that gentleman's agreement kind of thing. And teams are having second thoughts and pulling out of deals when you think that you got a deal done. And that's what's scary for general manager.
If you're a Washington Nationals fan, are you kind of like, so you could have got prospects from one of the top farm systems in baseball for a guy that you knew was going to leave or very likely was to leave at the end of this season, a season in which there was really no shot by that time of this team making a deep run in the playoffs. You just knew they were, they were scuffling. It wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, and here's the other thing if you're a Nationals fan. And
boy, you got to be a little pissed.
Yeah, because here's the thing to add on to what you were saying. You also, there's nothing that precludes you that says in free agency you couldn't still sign them. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to make the playoffs. You get a chance to get some top prospects to give up Bryce Harper, and you're still in the sweepstakes to go get him at the end of the year, unlike some of the other leagues and some of the other rules that say when you're traded, the one team you can't go back to is the team that traded you. You could have gotten all the prospects and still been right front and center in the middle of the talks in the offseason.
Yep. I don't know why they, unless they felt like they weren't getting a good deal or they thought they had a better offer or...
My gears immediately start turning going, and what would this have done to the playoffs? What would this have done if you could have put a healthy Bryce Harper in the outfield with an extra bat in the middle of that lineup, regardless of what injuries everybody else was dealing with? How would that have changed the complexion of what happened in baseball last year?
It would have been interesting.
Yeah, it really would
have
been.
Another bat in that lineup.
And then it behooves you to ask the question, if that was the case and he knows how interested the Astros were, and here we are sitting with teams reporting pitchers and catchers to spring training, if he's going to take a short-term deal.
Nope. Ain't going to happen.
No?
Luhnow basically said there's never been any significant talks this winter
about the Astros and Bryce Harper.
But if Bryce Harper had Scott Boras call Luno and pick up the phone and say, we're looking for a one-year deal, approve it, then lose it kind of deal.
Well, in the article, it just says, lest anyone get the wrong idea, the Houston organization's prior interest certainly doesn't indicate that Harper is of interest presently. There has been no such connection this winter. So I don't think it's a thing.
Okay.
But
it does. I'd like to hold out hope that at least there's
recovery. Oh, God. Wouldn't we all?
And at the same time, you know, I was a huge, huge proponent of getting Michael Brantley on this team. I'm fired up about him. I think he's going to be a huge addition to this squad, and I'm looking forward to it. But you just, if you have a chance to get Bryce Harper, he's a once-in-a-generational type player. Mm-hmm. Even if it's on a short-term deal, you go get him.
Absolutely.
And especially now when you don't have to give the prospects, it's just the purse strings. Yeah, I think you put yourself back in that conversation if you can.
Absolutely.
All right, Clarence wants to get in here on sports trash talking. Let's get him in before Chingo Bling joins us. Clarence, what's up?
Clarence,
you there, buddy?
What up, guys? How's it going?
What's up, man?
Happy Friday.
Happy.
Man, why we can't have trash talking in all sports? Could you imagine how much better golf, PBA, the pool tournaments would be if you just allow natural trash talking? And people are forgetting the benefits of trash talking in sports. You know how much better people will play with all the trash talking. Imagine you getting beat on the court. Guess what? You're going to go practice. You're going to go work a little harder. And you tied all that trash talking. You're going to come back and try to be better to win that next game. Man, we need trash talking in every sport. And I mean every sport.
It's not a bad idea, Clarence. And here's the thing that we talked about, and we appreciate the call, that we've kind of kicked around on this show before. But what we could do, and maybe we could do this to make a moneymaker, but we're going to need investors based on what we're pulling in. But here's what we do. Because Nick says he likes to watch the visiting team feed of NBA games. But here's what we do. We get together and we create a network where there is no screening or parental guidance or anything like that. So we give you a channel where you can get the regular feed, and then you can flip it over on with your remote, and you can get the feed where not only do you get the gnat sounds, but you get the trash talking, and the announcers can be real. If they have a preference or they're pulling for a squad, they can do it. If there's an ex-player that has a story, like with McHale the other night, where he called a certain individual a D-head, all that goes. I'm telling you, people would be all over it.
I think they want the realness. I mean, who doesn't like that, right? Who doesn't like when you hear players mic'd up or the refs mic'd up or you get clips of Belichick bitching about the roof being open to start the Super Bowl? I think so. I do think some of that might get old, though.
I think there's a couple of things.
The more people know about it, they start to ham it up and it becomes over the top. And you want it real. Like, any player that's mic'd up knows he's mic'd up. Mm-hmm. And you feel like they're extra chatty and over the top to begin with. But if it's boom mics or something that...
So I'm saying they call the parabolic mics, the big ones that's like a satellite dish on the sidelines.
Yeah.
That's all fine and dandy if you're trying to get trash talk. But if you're giving the team that you're playing the following week a tape that has not only that, but every audible and all the different audio signals that are being transferred from the sidelines and within the game itself, now you're giving a team an advantage in the scouting department. So that's going to be an issue. If you get the officials involved when there's a replay review and you get to be a part of it, because what was one of the great things when I was doing radio was we had a direct line into the conversation happening between the scorer's table and New York for replay reviews. And then we were told, you can hear all that so you understand it, but what you regurgitate to the fans has to be
cleaned up.
A real clean version of that doesn't give all the details. You would get into some hot water because obviously with the whole transparency with referees and stuff, well, when you were at the table and you guys were fighting back and forth about whether he was in bounds or not, that could be sticky.
Somebody had texted and said, how fun was the Ryder Cup a couple years ago when Rory and Patty Reed were talking bleep?
Oh, that was big. Yeah, that was a bit. And golfers, and the other thing is people need to slow down a little bit. Someone put a four-second clip from the driving range from the PGA tournament in L.A. this week. Tiger got done hitting balls, and the guy next to him was teeing up a ball to get ready to hit it. And as he walked by, he took his driver and tapped it off the tee and kept walking. And people were like, D, and calling him names. If you know Tiger amongst the other players, he was just playing around, and he was just... Yeah. You know, getting a guy good when he was getting ready to hit a ball. So Don't go overboard on that.
Chill out.
All right, is your boy in the building
yet? Chingo Bling is here. He will join us next segment.
There you go. Chingo Bling coming up next. Hour number 2, 3-hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the gift that keeps on giving, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an F Yeah Friday, where F is for funny, as we have told you. And as part of that, and that special gift, we'll put a bow on it because you've already heard two clips from our comedian of the week, Chingo Bling. But how about the fact that he's actually joining us in studio right now, H-Town Proud. And I know how to stay in my lane. I'm going to turn it over to the resident comedian in the bunch so that Barry can get some more info out there and talk to the man. Welcome to the show, man.
Welcome, Chingo.
Man, thank you guys for having me. And I thought we were in a similar lane, brother. I feel like, you know, we could merge lanes.
Talking about traffic today. And the thing is, if you're in the fast lane going 49, it ain't going to work. And so I know that sometimes it's better to let Barry drive it.
Joel, what was your favorite Chingo album?
I like the fact that he redid Call Me Maybe.
There you go.
Okay, cool. Look,
see, so there you go.
That's my man right there.
See? I went pop for a minute. I was reaching out of my lane.
Dude, I remember. I don't want to make you old, okay?
Yeah,
I don't want to say how old you are.
I got a baby face, but yeah. Let's go ahead and
you've been around for a minute. Now, I think I'm older than you, but you've been around for a minute. But I remember many years ago hearing stories about Chingo Bling. I was like, who is this Chingo Bling guy? And they're like, this dude sells tamales and mixtapes out of the back of the trunk of his car. Is that true?
Yeah, it was like a Happy Meal. You know, instead of getting a plush toy, you're getting some banging music.
Right.
But, you know, just really, man, it's just I'm a Houstonian. I'm a product of my environment. And I came in the game at a time where it was before social media. Like, we were people media. Like, our thing was all grassroots. So you had to, like, shake hands, you know.
Kiss go to babies.
Or shake babies, kiss babies. However you want to do it. Flea market and car shows and things like that. So I definitely paid my dues. And really, it set me up for this Chingo 2.0 where I'm at today.
And we were talking about that because Joel was asking. He's like, what was the transition like going from artist, musician to comic? And I said he's had the fan base, but he still had to work like any other comic does.
Musician is a lofty term. I don't know if I could really let's put some air quotes around that. I was just talking a lot of mess.
No, man, you did your
thing. I was rhyming and having fun. It was like the MySpace, a little bit before MySpace era. So it was, I caught the tail end of like CDs. I guess CDs were dying out. But you know what helped me a lot was sharing sites like the LimeWire, FrostWire, Napster.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I was kind of like, oh man, these kids are downloading my stuff illegally. But it helped me get out
to market it, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of musicians didn't. I mean, that was back when like Napster and Metallica were at war with each other because Metallica was suing them. But for a guy like you,
well, Metallica was so big.
Yeah.
You know, I was a tadpole trying to turn into a frog, you know. But it was great for the underdog. Like, if you didn't really have resources, if you weren't on a major label, this is how you can get heard in Wichita, Kansas, and Philadelphia, and Florida. And all of a sudden, you're getting booked out there and kind of spreading out. And
But we were talking about it, too, because, again, we had some people in this week, too, that are – when you're a self-marketer, when you are your own front man, as you're talking about, when you're getting started, are you thinking, look, music is the thing I want to get into, and this is my main thing? Or are you thinking, like, hey, there's an end to the mean, so I'm gonna get into music, but my ultimate goal is I want to get into comedy, too, because that's in my heart?
Well, honestly, when I finished college in San Antonio – and, you know, the bills were piling up, and I had to I got to relocate. I had to come back home to Houston. My initial goal was I'm doing comedy. I'm doing stand-up. So I went and met up with, I went and shook the hand of Juan Villarreal. I was like, hey, man, you're Mexican. You're from here. You do stand-up. Can you kind of guide me? And he was just in the process of showing me the ropes. But then my music stuff started, you know, I started getting feedback. It started showing a little bit of traction. So I put my attention onto that. So it just all came full circle, and I finally, you know, got a chance to try stand-up. And I fell in love with it, man. I've been doing it. I'm on year 4.5. I hit 5 years in August. That's my comedy birthday.
That's great, so, man. Now, you, great. I was saying that, you know, you and I chopped it up a little bit last Wednesday before the show and after. Mm-hmm. And you can always tell right away if people that are coming to comedy are serious about it. Mm-hmm. And you put in the work. I mean, the guys that you were telling me that you've sat down and done a writing session with, like Rick Gutierrez San Antonio. That's how you know when a dude is really in it.
He's like my coach. He's like Customato.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm trying to be Iron Mike, you know, black shoes, no socks, black trunks, no draws. You know, I'm trying to be that. And he's my Customato. So he's really putting me through the ringer. He's pushing me in the deep end. And, you know, he takes comedy serious as well.
Oh, very serious.
So I think what you were trying to say is, based on the stress on my face, you could tell that I'm wrestling with this thing called comedy.
I want to know what's harder from all aspects, not just the writing, but the promoting. And I mean, you've already kind of had a fan base coming into it. Mm-hmm. But what do you think is harder if somebody was starting out now? They're like, man, I want to be a rapper, but I want to be a comedian too. What road do you feel like would be more difficult?
Out of the two paths?
Yeah.
Man, I think, I don't want to say one is harder than the other, but the thing about comedy is you can't hide behind the dancers.
Yes.
You can't hide behind the beat. Mm. You can't rely on the DJ too much, although some people kind of like know how to use the DJ. But it's you, man. It's got to be honest and real, and you have to be prepared, and you've got to, you know, it's 100% organic, but it's 100% technical, and it's 100% effort. So you got to let it loose, but you got to be prepared. And music's a little bit different because you go in the studio. People can hear the same punchline over and over again, and it's okay.
Well, you may be performing live, but that's what the people think. But then there's the track, and they might be lip singing and all that stuff. But when you're butt naked on stage every single time in front of all those people, and it's all you. That gets back to you're marketing you, and you got to be you.
If I did it butt naked, it probably would be funnier. It'd be like cheating. Like, come on, man, come on,
bro. You would have zero male fans if you did it butt naked. Though, I mean, well, you might have a few. I don't know.
You never know. These
it
days.
Is 2019.
Hey, it's an all inclusive.
I wondered what porn stars did when they were done. Now
right?
They do comedy. Yeah.
So now you've got the Wednesday show at the Joke Joint, and that's going to be running for 6 weeks. You've already had a couple of weeks there.
Yeah, I've got about 4 more weeks left.
And is it free? Is it?
I think it's like a $10 ticket, and
just
to keep it low key and like a Wednesday hump day comedy type of vibe. And really, one of my main goals is I want to nurture the scene. I want to see the scene in Houston really develop, because as I dove into these open mics, which I avoided for a while, only because it was like, it's scary.
sure.
But when I started hitting the local scene, the open mics, I started meeting a lot of guys, you know, like Grady Pruitt and Jeff Joe. And, you know, I saw you kill it at the Improv. Who are you opening up for that?
Was that the Brendan Schaub weekend?
Yeah. I was like, man, this dude is funny. All the stuff you're talking about, the Houston stuff, the local stuff. And your last name was complicated as hell. So I said, I'm not going to remember that. He's going to have to spell that out for me. But yeah, I started seeing like, hey, man, there's a lot of talent. So this is supposed to be a room where fans can know this is an option. Live entertainment, live comedy. This is, you know, we got superstars in the making.
That's good, man. And the scene needs it. It needs. There are a lot of guys that used to put a lot of time and effort into cultivating the scene, and those guys now hit the road and they do the thing, and it's difficult. Plus, it's difficult to invest a lot of time in other people. But we appreciate it as comics when somebody can start a room or start a weekly show and give us the opportunity to work stuff out. Because as you know, it's difficult. But your rise in comedy, I mean, you already have the Netflix special. Mm-hmm. Did that just come through? Was it, because I've heard a lot of people say when you get something like that, it's 50% hustle and 50% luck. Is that true? Or was it some of it the right place, right time for you?
For me, it was 75% finesse.
Okay.
honestly, the way it came about, man, is I partnered up with a production company and a network called Me Too. Me Too said, hey, let's collaborate. So they started pitching the idea of, hey, we got Chingo Bling. Does anybody want to do anything? And they called me one day and they're like, hey, since you're doing stand-up now, let's pitch something stand-up related. I was like, okay, cool. They called back a few days later. They're like, hey, man, are you sitting down? I was like, yeah. And they're like, Netflix said yes. I was like, okay. Wow. And they're like, so why aren't you more excited? I was like, hey, man, I don't think I'm ready for that. I don't want to disrespect, you know, I don't want to take shortcuts. And I said, man, I got a list of names of dudes that really, really have paid their dues and they can pull it off. And they're like, dude, this can be a long-term relationship with Netflix. Like, it's really hard to get in there and pitch to them for them to say yes. So we licensed them the project. We still own it. And, you know, we got our foot in the door, so we're going to try to follow up.
I was going
to
say, is there more in the works?
Yeah, we're in the process of pitching, like, a series, something that's more scripted. It's not like a sitcom. It's kind of like Atlanta meets, you know, something else.
Somewhere between, like, Saturday Night Live and a sitcom, sketch comedy? Or
No, not sketch. It's like a 30-minute dramedy episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very like cool, man. Yeah. That's great. Any works on another special? Another stand-up special?
Actually, man, I'm trying to crank out an hour. Once I get my hour together, it might be like late 2020 or something like that.
That's dope.
Yeah, that's very the good. Plan. That's the plan.
That's awesome, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, check him out every Wednesday at the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase. How can they follow you? How can they catch up with you and find out what's going on?
ChingoBling.com if you want tamales. Yeah, ChingoBling.com, man. On Instagram, I'm Real Chingo Bling. And my Latino AF tour is stopping by in Houston in August.
Oh, nice. Where are you playing?
That's at the Improv. We're doing a whole weekend.
Oh, snap. Mm-hmm. Got the Improv. See, that's how you know you're big time, when you book the A rooms on your tour. That's when you know. Yeah. So he's legit, man. Y'all check him out. Chingo Bling, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you being here.
Thanks for being in, man.
Thank you.
There you go. 2 hours in the books. 1 hour still to go. It's the Big Show. Coming up next, the final 60 minutes, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.